Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman joined by the head coach here. And boy, Gus, been a different week usually than a typical week in Jacksonville for a home game. But you guys are set up here at the Grove, and I guess it's Whatley. Nice place.
It really is. It's a great setup for us. They did a nice job. We had some guys come out early. Mike Stolwer came out here and got all our video equipment set up. So we really transitioned really well into the hotel, and it's a great environment for our team.
Yeah, let me correct myself. It's Watford, not Whatley. There's so many different places out here. All I know is that it's amazing how the weather is out here. You wake up and the sun's out, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, it's going to be a beautiful day. Then by about 11 o'clock, all of a sudden the clouds roll in, and then it looks like it's going to rain at any moment.
Well, maybe if you start eating more of the food out here at Logs, you can pronounce the names. similar to what happened to me in Jacksonville. I thought I'd get that quick jab.
Yeah,
in.
That's a good one. All right, since you're going to get that jab in, has one of the greatest challenges, there's a lot of people that you guys are obviously dealing with out here in Watford. And here in the UK, is the greatest challenge sometimes understanding exactly what they're saying? Because, I mean, sometimes I have a hard time with it, but I'm sure they're sitting there listening to you going, what did he say?
Yeah, I've been asked to repeat a couple of my answers. So, but great hospitality, have gone out of their way to make us, comfort a level and being able to get everything we need to accomplish.
Has year two made that big of a difference? I mean, because, in fact, I was talking to Hamza, who does all the advanced travel, earlier today, and he said it was amazing how much he learned from last year's experience, and this year the facility's a little bit different. Everything seems to be a little bit more polished.
It is. And I think it's from us being together. We have a lot of new players that have done this for the first time. But for us that have been here, this is our second time, it does seem more seamless. Like, we come in, everything's set up. We know where the practice facilities are, the locker room set up for us. It just seems a lot smoother than it was last year.
The field's nice. I'm walking around the field the last couple of days taking a look at it. And I was talking to Mike Kensel from the league office who was here, and he said, yeah, they actually cleared the woods back like 15 yards to make the field better, to get more sun on it, to get it to drain better. I mean, so the league has made an investment.
They really have. And I know Atlanta was staying at this hotel prior to us coming out here, and they didn't use the field.
Yeah, so how'd you guys arrange that?
I don't know. They kind of saved it for us. But it really is. The field is in good shape, and it's held up to our practice schedule. And, normally we use two fields of practice. We've had to incorporate just one, and the field's really held up for us.
Well, you guys even have a kind of a portable locker room set up that has equipment room, training room, locker room, and then a weight room. You even have a weight room here.
Yeah, you know what? And it's the idea is just to have it for at ease for the players. That comfort level, locker room, and everything that we need is in within that temporary facility. So, like I said, it's been a smooth transition. Our players have really appreciated it.
Well, you talk about learning from the first year. Yeah, you have a whole food set up. In fact, it's right outside of where we are right here. And my first trip into the chow hall, all of a sudden, all the way around the counter, you see all these American condiments, peanut butter, ketchup, hot sauce.
Nutri-Grain bars.
Yeah, obviously, that wasn't purchased at a local store here. I mean, you guys shipped all that over.
Yeah, our nutritionists got involved and worked with their people and kind of set up a schedule for us as far as meals and what the players are accustomed to eating. So it's hard to get in the exact routine, but boy, they really got as close as possible to make it that way for the players.
Food's been good.
It has been
really
good.
Has been good.
Yeah, I think they've been gaining weight. we're all together. It's kind of like a training camp mentality. I mean, we're here. We wake up at, 5:36. You see players walking down the hall. And you go in there at 10:30, and there's players, just getting ready for bed check. And so you're seeing them the whole day.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of back in the old days. In fact, going all the way back to 1995 when our football team went to Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and you're all kind of in this little confined space, and you've got your chow hall right here, and everything's right there, and you get to see everybody and spend a lot of time with each other.
You really do, and it gives us a chance as coaches. We're eating dinner with the players. They have their own little room, rec room, where they go in, and coaches are in there. But you see a lot of the players hanging out, and You know, it's very similar to what happened last year. We went to Oakland and then we came out here. You feel the team even becoming tighter through the whole process.
The other thing that was a little bit different is that last year, it was the departure was the day after a home game on a Monday. And then you came back a day later. You actually, after the game last year in London, you stayed that night in the hotel and then you departed the following day, which was a Monday. So the trip is the same. But is it better having traveled on Sunday after a road game, or would you rather go back to having it to where you depart after a home game?
Well, I think it worked out really well on leaving on Sunday. Our players got acclimated. You know, on Tuesday, they felt pretty good. You know, Wednesday practice, you know, I think it was more efficient. You felt more spirit in the practice itself. So, you know, just comparing this year to last year, I think the players appreciated this year, you know, just as far as time schedule.
If, you know, obviously you're doing it again next year. The NFL just announced today that next year the game here will be week 7 against the Buffalo Bills. Do you try to, because you've now second year, do you like how kind of how things are going to say, hey, next year let's do it just like what we did?
Yeah, you know what, it feels pretty good. I know there's talk about maybe even leaving later in the week, and you know, we're exploring all of our options. I do know between the two that we've experienced thus far, we really like this schedule.
All right, the one thing I did notice is that when we got on the plane, and I think it's what, Virgin Atlantic Airlines, whatever it is, I walk on the plane and you go past first class and there's players. Coaches typically are in first class. Did you give it up to the players?
We did. We did. You know what? It was after a game, and the players are pretty sore, as you know, after a game. And it just felt like the guys that were active, I think there was 46 of them, you know, those 46 active players, we had enough bed-type seats for them. So as coaches, we just moved back another section and allow them to, you know, really as far as their own health and soreness, you know, we just felt like it was best for them to be up there.
Well, you know, we all, me and Joe and the other guys in the broadcast department, you know, we work hard on game day too. You think you can cough up first class bench seat for me next year?
Talk to Hamza, Logs.
I don't think that's going to happen. You guys now, you stay here at the Grove until tomorrow, and then you move and go to, I believe it's the Wembley Hilton. Is that kind of what you want to get players kind of into that, okay, now we're approaching game day mindset?
Yeah, I think it's a good transition for us, you know, to get closer to the stadium, you know, for travel, just Sunday when we wake up and we have our day, and then to go to the stadium is closer in proximity. So it's been a smooth transition. I think, you know, hey, we get our work done here and we move in. It becomes more of a mental process for us, you know, after Friday's practice.
Are the distractions limited here, or because you're kind of removed from London? Do you worry about that,
yeah,
as a coach?
Yeah, you do worry a little bit about it. I think when we first got here, we knew that we have to give players some time, and we chose to give them Monday and Tuesday to experience the area. And, you know, when you give freedom comes responsibility. But I thought the players handled it really well. And, you know, what I appreciate is they took buses into London, and they were together. You know, there's the whole wide receiver group, or, you know, Blake Bortles went with the offensive line and got something to eat. And, you know, so they experienced together. It wasn't like it was a bunch of separate individuals going into the city.
Do you guys as coaches get to enjoy it at all? I mean, because, I mean, from what I've seen so far, all you guys have done is grind like you normally do.
Yeah. No, you know, I think hopefully the coaches tomorrow night, you know, we'll get a little bit of free time to go out and, you know, get something to eat maybe in the city. But for the most part, you know, we've got so much stuff to do, and it's such a routine. Coaches are, you know, really want to stick to that part of it.
What's the hardest thing about coming over here as a coach? Because, you know, there's a lot of coaches that probably would not embrace this whole, you know, okay, every year we're going to go to London and play a football game, but you seem to embrace it.
Well, I do. I think our players enjoy it. You know, when you talk to them, you visit with them, they like it. I think what makes it a more positive experience for them is they do get to go out and see the city and see what it's like and experience that. Some of our guys have never traveled like this. And, you know, talking to Marquise Lee, it's a whole new experience for him. So to see these guys go through it and enjoy it, and they come into practice, and it's something new, something different for them. And we see that as a coaching staff, and it kind of brings us together even tighter. So it's been a good part of it.
Have you traveled anywhere yet since you've been here, or have you just been here.
They told me there's a golf course here. I guess, so. I've only seen it from our hotel over the practice field. So, you know, maybe tomorrow I'll get a chance to see it.
I got to warn you. First of all, watch out for the cab drivers. We had one heck of an experience with a cab driver this week. But then when we took the cab, you know, the guys were nice enough to allow me to sit up front with the driver. You know, it's a car, not really a cab. And when you sit in the front of the car and you're traveling somewhere over here, it's very scary. They drive on the wrong side of the road.
And the roads are narrow, they're telling
me.
Yeah. You know?
So that was scared out of my mind. We actually went into London and we went into a because, you know, like the Jaguars, you know, they have a whole marketing department and department that's here for sponsorship and everything that's based here out of London. And went in and we had a little bit of a dinner. And then on the way back, we kind of had a cab ride that was a little bit detoured because the guy didn't know exactly where we were going. And I was very clear and I was speaking very clearly. You know, I wasn't using my Southern accent. But somehow or another, we got lost.
Yeah, I'm sure it was his fault. A native here, huh?
And even had a GPS unit. And I was sitting there going, yeah, so give me that GPS unit. I'll reprogram it for you. All right, let's take a break here. We come back. We'll get an update here on Blake Bortles, the quarterback. And you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman, Gus Bradley, the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gus, the arrival for you guys, you know, you come off the plane and you go through customs, and then you arrive at the hotel, and I know that you took the football team, did a little stride, a little stretch, maybe to kind of work that lactic acid out. And so I was thinking, okay, that's cool. You know, you want the players to kind of get uncoiled, so to speak, from a long trip. And as I'm kind of walking around the hotel to kind of familiarize myself with where I'm at and where the room is and where everything is at, I see all of a sudden hundreds of Jaguar fans. I'm like, wow, where's this? And all of a sudden I find out it was the Union Jacks, which is the fan club over here in the UK. What a great thing that you guys did to allow them to come out to practice and experience a little bit of, you know, one-on-one contact with players and coaches.
Well, you know, just hearing from our marketing people and the information that has been gathered, our popularity has grown over here. We have 35,000+ fans that are over here. They did a little raffle, and they chose 100 fans from that group to come over and watch our practice. So it was a special day for them, and we came over the bank to see the field, and then they are all lined up along our field. So we did a little walkthrough, run through, more just to get acclimated to the environment and know where the practice fields are, and to see those fans there in our players right after the walkthrough gravitated towards all of them. It was really a neat experience for them.
I heard you gave them a little bit extra too at the very end there.
Well, huh? I didn't know that. I was a little uncomfortable doing that, but you know, they kind of caught me off guard and wanted me to do it, and you know what? They're into it. I mean, like I said, our popularity has grown, and the fans over here are great, and they want to know about our fans in Jacksonville, and it was a great little, you know, what, 25 minutes, 30 minutes that we had with them.
Yeah, and when I was talking about a little bit of extra something, they obviously, a lot of their pipeline of information comes through Jaguars.com, and you're one of your post-game celebration after you beat the Cleveland Browns, you did the We Believe kind of chant. And they asked you to do that, and you did it with the fans. That's great, though.
No, it was. You know, we talk about connect with the following, yeah. And our fans are over here, and you know, they were into it and got a kick out of it. But I think just to go along with them, the cool part was I saw our players going through the line and the autographs and the connection they had with the fans. It was really a neat thing to be a part of, and the players were talking about when we came back over to the hotel.
And if people want to see this, go to Jaguars.com, because Patrick Cavanaugh, who does all the stuff for Jaguars.com, did a really cool piece. It was kind of a timeline thing to where, you know, from the moment the game ended in Cincinnati, and just put together a video package from that moment all the way to the moment of getting here, and then actually to that point where the players got to interact with the fans. And it was great seeing, you know, Roy Miller and Senderek Marks and Blake Bortles, you know, posing for pictures, shaking hands, and actually having conversation.
Yeah, and you know what? They got the new logo. I mean, they're updated with everything. It really was good. And it was all ages, right, Lux? I mean, you saw, you know, older fans. You saw young kids that were there. And a really assortment of people that really have belief in the whole Jaguar system.
All right. I had mentioned this before we went and took our last break. at the game in Cincinnati, a number of guys were hurt. Blake Bortles being obviously the key one because he's your quarterback. Looks like he was grabbing that left hand, wrist, whatever it is. How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. I mean, he's practiced taking all the reps. So, you know, for him, you know, it's kind of a unique deal. He was running, scrambling out of the pocket, went to get out of bounds and just planted his wrist down. And, you know, he has some sensitivity in that. But each day that we practice, it feels like he gets better for him. So we're fortunate that it's not his throwing hand. He can take a snap and he can do all that. So in the game, though, I know it was painful for him. But like I said, each day he's gotten better.
I get the impression that he's a tough guy and it's not a big deal.
He really is. And I think the team feels that. The physical toughness that he has, the mental toughness, you know, all those traits that we were looking for in a quarterback he has.
Brandon Linder, how's he doing? Because when he left the game, and he's another tough guy, young player, but he is a tough guy. And when an offensive lineman leaves the game and can't even really attempt to come back, there's some concern. Will he be able to play this week?
It doesn't look as promising. You know, he's done some work on the sidelines, and the big thing is how fast will he regain his strength. And right now he's feeling better, but just, you know, the workouts on the side, not even in practice. So, you know, that doesn't look as promising as maybe we had hoped.
Well, and the offensive line has gotten better and better and better. You know, Denard Robinson, 3 weeks in a row now, who he's averaging like over five yards a carry. He's been spectacular, and that offensive line has gotten better. You know, if Brandon Linder can't go, you got a couple other options. You got Jacques McClendon. You have a young player in Tyler Shatley, who was an undrafted rookie that you guys obviously held in high regard because you kept him on the active roster. How do you replace a guy like that, or is this kind of okay? Hey, we're not going to say anything yet.
Well, as you know, Jacques started early in the season for us, so he'll get his opportunity to start. And you're right, we've had some success, and I really believe that ever since that Washington game where we made some changes and Austin Pastor came back a couple games from that, once we got that established, I think they built their continuity, their communication took place, and we knew it was going to take a little bit of time, but they've gelled together. So now Jacques will have to replace Brandon Linder. We're looking at Tyler Shatley as well. He provides us good depth at that spot.
Is it a challenge facing the Cowboys? You go back, and I'm watching the Seattle game, which was a few weeks ago, and the Dallas Cowboys were able to put up 30 points. They have an assistant head coach, Imani Kiffin, that you worked with in Tampa Bay, and obviously he's got some familiarity with your scheme. Is it a challenge to face them, or does it kind of work both ways because you also have familiarity with them?
Well, they do have some familiarity. There's a lot of the similar concepts that we do defensively. So, you know, a Seattle game's a good game to watch for us, you know, how they tried to attack it. And, you know, for us, you know, with me knowing the system, and be able to visit with Jed. Obviously, he's going to have his own thoughts, what they see off tape. But just to be able to bounce ideas back and forth has been great.
The Dallas defense, DeMarcus Ware is gone. Jason Hatcher is gone to the Redskins. DeMarcus Ware is obviously with the Denver Broncos now. How did they replace those guys? Because looking on the film, they've got a couple draft picks. DeMarcus Lawrence, a guy that just was active last week, a second-round pick out of Boise State. They've got Anthony Hitchin, a fourth-round pick out of Iowa. But the one thing that I noticed when I watched them on film, they're playing a lot of guys. You know, I have to look down at my card to see exactly who that is because it looks like they have like almost 9 or 10 guys playing up front.
They do. They really roll them in, and they're trying to get, you know, spread the reps out. Last year, they averaged about 68, 69 plays on defense. This year, roughly about 58, 59. So they've cut down on that. And then to have a defensive line like they have, where they're each about getting about 30 reps. I know there's a few there that are getting more, but for the most part, they're really fresh. And for the limited amount of plays that they're playing defensively, you know, to keep those guys fresh gives them an opportunity to get more pressure, and they're getting more turnovers.
Yeah, the guy, you know, if there's anybody that's really stood out in the last couple of weeks, it's defensive tackle, and I believe he's a former Chicago Bear, Henry Melton. 3.5 sacks, I believe, in the last two games. He looks like he's starting to kind of rise, I guess you could say, and separate himself from the rest of that group.
He really has. You know, in Chicago, he had a couple good years, and then he had the injury, and he's kind of bounced back from that. Now, there's a classic example. He went from playing about 45 reps a game to now they want to get him about 30. And because of that, they've been able to keep him fresh, and he's been more productive.
Are they as good as what I'm looking at? Because you look at their rankings, and they're ninth in points per game allowed at 21. but their offense is so good. So is that maybe a little bit more due to their offense being so good and that there are opportunities against the Dallas defense?
Well, they are. They're healthier than they were on offense than they were last year. So that's a big part of it. And they've got a lot of skill position, good offense line, so they keep the defense off the field. If you look at their average per attempt, rushing and passing, they're giving up about the same as they did last year, just less plays. And they're getting more turnovers. So it has been effective for them that the offense is being able to run the ball like they are. And I think they're another year into their system, and they're playing more confident.
Well, they've got some injuries to deal with. Justin Durant is on injury reserve. He's been their weak side starting linebacker. And the question mark is Rolando McClain, who's a guy that they were able to get off of the street. He's got an injured knee coming out of their game last week against the Arizona Cardinals. So a challenge for the Dallas Cowboys. When we come back, we'll talk about Tony Romo right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman along with head coach Gus Bradley. You know, Gus, all week long and even last week for the Dallas Cowboys, it's been the Tony Romo watch. Against, I believe it was Washington Redskins, the linebacker, Keenan Robinson kneed Tony Romo in the back, and he had two fractured transverse process in his back. Do you even know what that is?
Yeah, we had Mike Brown had the injury last year.
Okay, and if I remember right, Mike Brown was out for a while last year.
He was out about 2 to 3 weeks. It's, you know, it depends. I mean, there's different levels of it, you know, with everything, just like hamstring strains. You know, so we don't know exactly what he has. You can be back from anywhere from a week to 3 weeks.
Now, are you following the injury report all week long here to see what's going to happen?
No, right now, I mean, I'm anticipating and we're anticipating that Tony Romo is going to play. Everything that we hear and how we're talking to our players, you know, that's what we're anticipating, you know, that he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I was actually kind of following it last week, knowing that you guys were going to be facing the Cowboys here in London. And Bruce Arians kind of said the same thing. He said, hey, look, you know, we're expecting him to play. And then when he didn't play, he's like, hey, look, I was shocked. I just figured that, you know, Tony Romo's a tough guy. He would play. But if you were a coach in that situation with a guy like Tony Romo and a long season, would you hesitate maybe with the bye week staring at you the following week? Because both you and the Cowboys have a bye week, I believe, next week.
Well, I think you got to look at where your team is, you know, and I know they've lost a couple games here now, and they're going into a bye week. So do they want to put their best foot forward and do that? Every coach is different. I know for us, we just have to get a feel for our team and where we're at and really look at the long-term part of your quarterback and how he's playing. First and foremost is his health. And I'm sure that's what they're looking at.
If he's not in the game, last week, Brandon Whedon, who was a former first-round pick for the Cleveland Browns, they no longer have Kyle Orton there. He's now a starter in Buffalo. There's kind of a big drama going on with that situation there. But Brandon Whedon obviously is not the player that Tony Romo is. Do you change the way you play if the quarterback is different once you get to the actual game?
Well, you know, a lot of times there's similarities in the quarterback. There have been drastic changes. RG3, Kirk Cousins, you know, drastic changes like that. But with Tony Romo, there is, his ability to extend the play, his ability to read coverages. I mean, he's been in the league a long time. He understands defensive principles. So there is a difference in players. But we just feel like, hey, let's prepare for Tony Romo. We've watched a lot of film on Wheaton, too. So we understand him. But for the most part, everything we're hearing about is going to be Tony Romo.
I was looking at Tony Romo's rating so far this year, and he's the fifth-rated passer in the National Football League. Might be having one of his best years yet. I mean, and he's kind of always been known as a streaky quarterback, but this year he's been able to be consistent.
Well, and it's their same system. I mean, I went back and watched him in 2011 against Seattle. And just the same passing concept. So I know they hired Scott Linehan, and he came in. I'm sure he's incorporated some ideas, but that is an offense that Tony Romo has run for years and has a really, really good grasp of it.
It's amazing how we can have all this conversation about a quarterback, but the real strength of that Dallas offense has been their offensive line. I believe they have three first-round draft picks up front, Tyron Smith at left tackle, Travis Frederick at center, and then a rookie right guard, and Zach Martin, who was a tackle at Notre Dame. And with those three first-round picks and a couple other pretty good players, and Doug Free if he plays, and then Ronald Leary if he plays, those two guys have been a little bit banged up. But regardless, whoever they've played up front, that's been a good unit.
It really has been. Obviously their skill positions are a strength of their team. Tony Romo, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten. And then on top of it, that offensive line, it really is a challenging game for us defensively, a good challenge. And we need this challenge, because it gets in that run-pass bind. And his quarterback rating, the passing offense, the running offense, both ranked high in stats. So, there's a reason why they're pretty good.
Is this the best offensive line you will have faced yet today?
We've talked about that. We believe it is. From left tackle to right tackle and everywhere in between, from the types of players and what they ask them to do, they really work well as a unit.
Do you gain confidence, though, knowing that, okay, a few weeks back when you got your first victory of the season against the Cleveland Browns, Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, that's a pretty good offensive line, and you guys shut them down.
Well, it is. We talk a lot about Dallas's defensive line, and they roll guys in, and they're fresh. And that's been the same mindset with our defensive line. I feel like our defensive line has really played hard. We roll a lot of guys in there. So for this reason, to go against a very good offensive line like this, we'll be fresh. We'll have nine guys playing, and they'll all get their opportunities, and that's our mindset as well.
One of the guys that I have absolutely thoroughly enjoyed watching has been, and you know me, I appreciate defensive line, Zenderic Marks. Statistically, you look at him this year, he's tied his career high in sacks with four, but he's been a factor not only in the passing game as a pass rusher, he's blocking balls, and he's also making tackles for a loss. Is this his best that you've seen out of him
yet? He really has. And what a credit to him, because how many stories do you hear after a guy signs a contract and he comes off that contract that he doesn't have the year that he did the year before? Well, it's been the opposite for Zenderic. He's really elevated his play, and this is with less plays. He's not playing as many as he did last year, so even more credit to him.
All right, we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show. I want to get a little bit more into Jason Witt, Hall of Fame tight end, big challenge for the Jaguars defense, and we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman, joined by the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, before the break, I'd mentioned Jason Witt. And when I watch Jason Witt, I don't know if he's ever had blazing speed. He's never been one of those Jimmy Graham type of tight ends. But, man, is he a guy that when a quarterback gets in a bind, he feels confident that he can throw him the ball, and Jason Witten's going to catch it.
Well, the speed thing, it showed up last week, right? The blocked field goal, and he ran him down and made the play before it got in the end zone. I talk about hold somebody in high regard. This guy's career has been phenomenal. And I've had the opportunity to, defend against him, as a defensive coordinator. And there's no doubt there's a reason why Tony Romo made the statement, a couple weeks ago, maybe the best Cowboy that played or, some comment like that. But he is really a challenge for a defense. You always got to be aware of where he's at.
Just giving people an idea of how good he has been. The Cowboys have had some great players. I remember growing up and watching not only the great Dallas defenders, but Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett, Drew Pierce, and all those great guys. But here's some numbers for people to chew on. Jason Witten has 913 career receptions, which ranked number one all-time in Dallas Cowboys history. 10,197 yards, which ranks number two only behind Michael Irvin in yards receiving, and 54 touchdowns. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he really is. And I know some people balked at that statement that he made, but not a lot of coaches did. He is a tremendous, tremendous player. And it's the explosive plays that he has. It's not like the typical routes that you see tight ends run. They'll send them on seams, on over routes, and they really utilize them. And, boy, are they on the same page as far as in blitzes as well.
Hall of Famer? On skates?
Yeah, without a doubt. He's, in my opinion, for whatever that's worth, but very, very talented player.
And I've watched him through the years, and a lot of tight ends that are Hall of Famers have a tendency to be really good in the passing game and not very willing in the blocking game. And I'm not going to name names, Gonzalez. But Jason Witten is a willing blocker.
He is, and they prefer to run over the top of him. So, yeah, I mean, just the total package. You know, they talk about wide tight ends, guys that can block in the core, but also a receiving threat. I mean, this is what teams are looking for, is a guy like Jason Witten.
They love a lot of two tight end sets. The other guy that kind of shows up on film as far as talent level is Gavin Escobar. Is he a threat?
Yeah, he is. He's made some big plays. You know, on tape, you see him catch a touchdown pass. And you know, they had him ranked very high, you know, as far as in the draft and stuff. They felt like, you know, he could really provide value to him. So, got to know where he's at. Very, very athletic type guy. Does a good job catching the ball.
All right, let's flip out to the wide receivers, because Dez Bryant, I don't know if I would call
Why'd
him.
Why'd you start with him?
I should have started with him because he's that good, right? I was saving him for last because, yeah. I mean, he really is probably the most dynamic guy. I mean, besides on a play-by-play basis, Dez Bryant, I mean, because DeMarco Murray is that guy. But Dez Bryant is a guy that can take the top off of a defense. He can catch a wide receiver screen and go to the house. Is he one of the best you'll face this year?
He really is, too. Another very talented player on the perimeter. I can remember the first time we game planned against Dallas and Dez Bryant was playing, and they weren't on the same page. You know, Tony would throw a back shoulder. Dez was running down the field. And, you know, Dez would look back for the back shoulder, and, you know, Tony was throwing it deep. And you saw some things like that take place. But now, you know, over the years that they've been together, they're really on the same page and they're really clicking.
Yeah, he was kind of an immature player. You know, early on in his career, it seems like he's kind of finding his way.
He really is. And, you know, he's their go-to guy along with Witten. You can see it on third downs. They're, what, 56% on third downs. Those two guys are both great threats for the quarterback to have.
Are you going to steal a little bit of a tip from Bruce Arians' playbook? Because last week against the Cardinals, now, obviously, Brandon Whedon was the quarterback, and that would help with that game plan. But Dez Bryant was held without a catch until the last drive of the game, in which he had two. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
It really is. You know, and they did a good job with their corners. You know, with Patrick Peterson and Cromartie, they felt like they had two corners that could match up with them pretty well, and they had good length. So, you know, for us, Demetrius McCray is playing pretty well, and Dwayne Grotz really had a good week last week, you know, and the week prior. So, you know, this would be a good challenge for our guys. You know, I think a guy like D-Mac, he's looking forward to the challenge, and he knows he needs it. And he knows at the end of this game, he's going to be a better corner because of it.
And I don't want your game plan here, but when you face an opponent and you've got a corner like Dwayne Grotz and Demetrius McCray, and each one has a trait. You know, McCray's long, Grotz's probably a little bit more change of direction type. Do you always try to play to your guys' strengths, the matchup against the opponent's, you know, wide receiver strength?
Well, I'll give you a very broad answer. You can. You know, sometimes you match them up. Demetrius McCray, or, you know, because of his length, or Grotz, you know, with his strengths, and you try to match him up receivers. That's a possibility. The other thing is the corners like to play on their respective spots. You know, I'm a right corner, I'm a left corner, and let's go compete. So I think you got to, you know your players, know what their strengths are, and then best utilize them that way as well.
All right, we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll talk a little special teams with the head coach right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. And Gus, this week here, I'm seeing televisions kind of spaced all around the hotel. You have it in the meal rooms. You know, they have a workout facility, and they've got TVs in there. And they've got soccer and cricket and soccer and cricket. Do you have any idea about either of those two sports?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched a lot of what's on TV, and nor do I know if our players are. But I think they're intrigued by it. You know, a couple of our practices, you know, we had a English Premier soccer player out here, and we had a rugby kicker out here today. So they're getting exposed to it.
All right, tell everybody about that, because I saw the rugby player coming out on the field, and the balls that they use are bigger than an NFL ball. And I know that after yesterday's practice, you had a little soccer contest. What did you do with the rugby player today? Did we have a scrum post-practice?
No, we didn't have anything like that.
Because if it was a scrum, I'd want Roy Miller on my team.
I saw you walking away when he came on the field.
That's where I need to go when it comes to rugby.
But, no, you know what? It's kind of interesting because Josh Scobie had quite a lengthy conversation with them. And they were talking about kicking and, you know, they both tried it. Josh kicked the rugby ball and he kicked the football. And just the conversation that's taking place, you know, where do you hit the ball and what's your approach like? And it was really unique just to hear their conversations taking place.
Did the guy, the rugby player, was he able to kick a field goal?
Yeah, he did. It you know, wasn't very high, but you know, he was getting used to it. And you could see the more times he tried it, the more he got a feel for it. But the rugby ball is, you know, heavier than a football. Mm-hmm. So I think it, you know, both of them had some things that they had to adjust to.
Did some of the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, ask this guy if we could have a scrum and kind of show us how it's done?
No, all the defensive linemen were behind the field goal and they were, you know, waving their arms trying to create a distraction for him. So they had some good fun.
I was actually going back to the first question, you know, soccer and cricket. I understand soccer. You know, I've got a pretty good idea with soccer, but cricket, I have absolutely no idea. But they have a workout facility here, and so to pass some of my time here, because I'm not working as hard as you are, I'm watching cricket on television. I'm trying to figure it out, and I still have not figured it out. And I think I've watched about an hour and a half of cricket. I still haven't figured it out. So I'm looking for a little tutorial there. Special teams, not great last week. Deflected punt, blocked punt. Josh had a kick out of bounds. And I know that prior to that, when you had issues with field goal protection, you shifted some guys around to make things better. And it was better last week in field goal protection. How do you approach it this week with your punt protection?
Well, I think you always look at personnel placement and getting guys in position to where you best utilize their strengths. So we looked at that with all of our special teams every week, and there'll be some, you know, some possible movement that takes place with our special teams. Up until this point, this last game, I know we've had a couple field goals we missed and blocked, but our punt and our punt return and kickoff return, we've seen them improve, and they're doing a good job as far as the rankings, as far as improvement. But, protection, boy, you know, can change the game so fast. You always got to look at that, and that's why with the field goals and the punt, we got to take a hard look at it.
Well, and the protection wasn't a scheme thing, was it? I mean, it was just two guys that missed blocks.
Yeah, and they came back and they tried it again. The guys did a good job with it. It's that focus, you know, every rep, every opportunity, you really got to be dialed in. And we just missed it. You know, we missed our focus on that play, and, you know, they did a good job.
Well, Rich Bisaccia, I think is his name. Bisaccia, special teams coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. You know what's coming.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And I coached with Rich, so I know what that's all about and how he goes about it. And he'll look at how teams try to expose you and some of their weaknesses, and then he likes to attack that.
Do you also maybe take a look? I know that you said in the past that Ace Sanders is your punt return guy. Do you maybe look at maybe making that position competitive and maybe get Marquise Lee a rep back there or somebody else an opportunity back there? Are you happy with what you're seeing with Ace Sanders now?
Yeah, no, I think Ace is getting better. He had, one for 11.9 last week. And, you know, anytime you're averaging over 10 yards of punt return, that's pretty good. So Ace has had a couple good returns there. Marquise is getting some reps back there to provide depth and just see what he can do as well.
To go back to the punt protection thing, a lot of people don't understand this. Brian Enger's he's a three-step punter, right?
Yeah, I'd say a long two, three-step,
yeah.
Right.
And so typically those guys need a little more time.
Yeah, you need to be more stout, you know, in your protection. And, you know, I think it's a combination. We got to do a better job with protection and our get-off and, you know, a combination of all of it. But it really was, you know, we just overextended ourselves. They came up and under. We didn't get a chance to adjust to it, you know, on the fly. And, you know, they did a good job with it. So, like I said, they tried it later on in the game. We did a good job. So, it's just more of a mentality and a focus.
All right, we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show. I want to talk about D-Rob and Ahearns, okay? Because two young players playing exceptionally well. We'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logman alongside the head coach, Gus. One guy that really stood out last week, in fact, he bailed out the young quarterback a couple times, was Allen Hurns, an undrafted guy from Miami that just seems to play with a maturity level that not a lot of young players have.
You know what? I think that what was really neat to see is that he's getting a really good feel to run routes, and he's understanding coverages. And I think what this week stood out for him was the ability to compete for the ball. You know, for him to know that, all right, Blake's giving me a chance here. I've got to make the best of it. And he outcompeted a couple guys to get the ball. That's the part with all of our guys that we're looking for. You know, we have a slogan to say, make him a hero, you know, and make the quarterback a hero by attacking the ball, being competitive at the point of attack.
Is he one of those guys that, you know, at the very beginning of the season, you kept using this term, race to maturity? Is he a guy that's winning that race?
Yeah, he really is. You know, both those guys, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, you know, they're doing a really good job in there, just, you know, as far as progress that they made from the start to where we are right now. And a lot of that has to do just the playing time. And that's with a guy like Marquise Lee. I think it's important to get him some playing time, to get him some reps too, because he has some traits that we like as well.
Well, he's got some great traits because he's dynamic. I mean, when you watch him, I was watching him practice a little bit today. The guy can run.
He can. You know, and that's what we're seeing in practice. Today he had probably one of his best practices. So, you know, we got to find a way to get him on the field.
All right, D-Rob, Denard Robinson. Hey, look, I'm going to be the first one to admit it. Last year, you know, you guys draft him, and you put this term on him, offensive weapon, and I'm sitting there going, he can't catch. So you can't play him at wide receiver. So probably the only thing that he could probably do is running back, but he's a former quarterback. Can he protect the passer? And all of a sudden, he's doing it all.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, it's really a credit to him now. In the offseason, you know, we talked to him, hey, we're going to lock you in at running back. We have a good feel for your traits and what you can do. He put on weight. He came in and just extremely competitive, competed the whole way through OTAs and training camp, and just needed an opportunity. And I think it was for him just to get that experience and kind of grow with our offensive line. And then they kind of meshed together. And he's really done a great job taking advantage of his opportunities.
Last week, early in that ball game, he took a shot. And he goes down, and I'm like, uh-oh. And to see him kind of walk it off, I guess he just got the wind knocked out of him. But to see him walk it off and then to come back and to run with the authority that he did in that game, because he nearly had 100 yards again. He just didn't get the carries because you guys weren't able to put some first downs together. That might have been the most impressive thing to me, because there's not a lot of former quarterbacks that have that level of toughness to play running back in the National Football
League. Right, and that's his competitiveness too. You know, both physically, mentally tough. And same thing, it happened right in front of our sideline. And he got up a little bit slow, but went right back in and really didn't miss a beat.
I don't want you to get ahead of the game here, but you know, you're always looking for franchise guys, franchise quarterback, you know, franchise left tackle, franchise tight end. Could he be a franchise running back for you guys?
Well, it's so early. I mean, he's had three pretty good games. And, you know, so we'll see as teams try to game plan and get a feel for his style. But it's the consecutiveness, you know, the consistency that you see week in and week out from a running back. But his whole mentality and his competitiveness are the traits that you're looking for.
Pretty amazing that in this game this week, the two top running backs in the last 3 weeks of the NFL season are DeMarco Murray and Denard Robinson. That's impressive.
Yeah, it really is. And I credit to the offensive staff, our offensive line, you know, the tight ends, because it didn't look that way, right? We never thought early in the season that we'd have this much production. So, you know, a credit for those guys, the conviction to stick with it and to really grow together, like I said.
All right, we come back. I wanted you to throw some credit along those offensive linemen, because there's one guy, and he went to a really great college I want you to talk about, and you can probably guess what school that is, the University of Virginia. And I'm talking about center Luke Bewanko. We'll do just that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the last segment of the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logan alongside the head coach and Gus, Luke Bewanko, the center from Virginia. It's been a joy to watch him all season long, because that offensive line has clearly gotten better, and he's been a big part of it. And I think last week, watching him block maybe the guy that has the biggest rear end in football, the nose tackle, D'Amato Pecco, I believe it is, for the Cincinnati Bengals, he did a really good job.
He did. You know what? And we knew he had the athleticism. That was a trait that we liked about him in our zone blocking scheme. But the strength that he showed and, you know, the ability to work up to the second level and finish, you know, each week you're seeing him gain more and more confidence. And, you know, he's getting a better feel for things. He's, you know, almost like he's taking charge up there in front.
Well, as far as playing that position, taking charge, that's a big part of playing center. I mean, we Jaguar fans watch Brad Meester for so long. Does he have that demeanor?
He does. I think, you know, a lot of, we're not putting everything on his plate right now, but I think he's a guy that's capable. And I think that even...
Well, I know he's capable. He went to Virginia, for heaven's sakes. Come on, guys.
We have a couple learning sessions with him. No, he does a great job. It's I think that, you know, it, for him, this experience from the first game we put him in to where he is now, and you're just going to see keep seeing him grow. And, you know, in the off season will be really good for him as well to gain strength. But just his whole mentality is really, you know, we're really pleased with his progress.
All right, we only got about a minute left. Will Gus Bradley, will you get a chance to enjoy London and the UK at some point this week?
Well, you know what? I think tomorrow night we have an event with Shad. So I get a chance to see him and some of the sponsorship. So looking forward to that time to spend with him. After that, then it's, you know, back to work again on Saturday.
The coaching blinders,
yeah,
you know,
right,
where you just focus singularly on football.
It is. But you know what? It's been a great time. And, you know, to experience this and going to London tomorrow, it'll be great.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting to London because it is a unique city. I've spent a lot of time in New York, and London is right along that kind of that same level. And the food, not as good as New York, though, Gus.
Well, I'll trust your judgment on that.
All right, folks, thanks for listening to hear the Gus Bradley Show. And Gus, I wish you guys the best of luck this week. And please, find a way to just step out of your coaching blinders for just a little bit.
All right, I will. I'll take advantage of that.
All right, we'll talk to everybody. Same time, same place next week right here on the Gus Bradley Show.